This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Two Florida Gulf Coast University professors have just returned from their 10-month leave, which they spent teaching students in Rwanda on a Fulbright scholar grant. We'll speak with a couple about their experiences in the second half of our show. But first, legislation to expand workers' compensation benefits to include post-traumatic stress disorder for firefighters, paramedics, EMTs, and other first responders unanimously passed its first Senate committee in Tallahassee last week. And there is a similar bill proposed in the House. PTSD is currently only fully covered by workers' comp if a mental injury is accompanied by a physical injury that requires medical treatment. Advocates say that the suicide rate among first responders is higher than the rate among the general population, and that expanding workers' comp coverage for mental health issues is like PTSD could bring that number down. We're joined now by Florida's Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Petronas, who is also the state fire marshal. He's been on a statewide tour recently meeting with firefighters and their families to learn firsthand how these issues have impacted them. Mr. Petronas, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on the air with you today.
It's good to have you on the air again. And we're joined in studio by two men who know firsthand what firefighters experience in the line of duty and the kinds of mental strain that it can cause. First, John Correnti is a captain with the City of Fort Myers Fire Department. John, thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it, and I'm honored.
And Kevin Garrity is a commissioner with the Greater Naples Fire Rescue District. Kevin, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Julie.
And as always, we'd like to hear from you. Maybe you're a firefighter or a first responder and you have a story to share, or maybe you just want to weigh in on the idea of expanding benefits to first responders to cover things like PTSD. Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-428-8255. GCU Talk. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Jimmy Petronas, let's start with you. I talked with you just before Hurricane Irma about homeowners and insurance, so to be clear, you do wear many hats. But what exactly is your role as state fire marshal?
So, as state fire marshal, and again, thank you for having me on the air, and gentlemen, thank you for your service to our state. The Office of State Fire Marshal, as we consolidated the cabinet 20 years ago, 20 years ago as we consolidated the cabinet, we combined the state treasurer, the state comptroller, and the insurance commissioners all into one office. And the Office of State Fire Marshal is something that I get to play a role in, and somewhat as a figurehead. I also get to take the role in a very serious way as being an advocate for the policies, and in this particular case, advocating for the policies to benefit our first responders. I think there's definitely a reality that the rest of the state sometimes forgets and we take for granted, but when we dial 911, whatever type of horrific situation that we're in, the first responding community comes out with full guns blazing, with all resources to bear, with every potential challenge unknown before them, and rushing into the scene to save lives of our Floridians. And in this particular circumstance, I think, the benefits that they're entitled to, I should do everything in my possible power to help advocate and enforce that they get them this coming legislative session.
So can you give me a basic explanation of what this proposed legislation would do for first responders?
Sure. So right now, as our first responders, and specifically with the PTSD, we had an incident where a firefighter out of the Tampa Bay area, dealing with extraordinary images of service, images that can never be erased, that are burned in the memory of his profession, are difficult sometimes to move past, and as those demons that haunted him, in his case, needed therapy and help. His captain helped him formulate a workers' comp claim. As that workers' comp claim was starting down the process of receiving some therapy, turns out that the claim ultimately was denied. To add insult to injury, as he was navigating a road to recovery, that the treatment had stopped. Then he had to pay back his back wages, the compounding effect that it had on his ability to try to become a normal part of society was too great, and he succumbed to taking his own life. And to me, that's unacceptable. We cannot stand by and allow nothing to be done as these men and women are doing everything they can to give us the quality of life that we have here in the state of Florida. For them to have that as their solution is we can do better.
You can't really get a more direct correlation between the PTSD being covered as a part of a workers' comp claim and an individual, I mean, in that situation. Does this happen a lot? We mentioned in the lead-in that there is a higher rate of suicide among firefighters. Is that true also in Florida?
Yes, it is. And does it happen a lot? I think any suicide's a lot,
yeah.
But when you see the compounding effect, these men and women spend more time amongst their profession than they do their own families. So when one of these men or women decide to ultimately take their solution into their own hands, it has a ripple effect through more than just the immediate family that this individual was affiliated with, his firefighting community and the brothers and sisters that he serves with. It's a challenge to them in order to give them the ability to not only live a life of normalcy, but to be effective at a career that has now been just tremendously just shocked with the loss of a loved one. I've been taking this opportunity very seriously as I've been running the state, because I can't advocate unless I hear firsthand. And to sit down with the firefighters and first responders around the state has been an eye-opening experience for me, and I look forward to using these experiences to help move along legislation to give these men and women the benefits they deserve.
Yeah, I bet. So, John Correnti, you're a captain with the City of Fort Myers Fire Department. First, I want to thank you for your service. Not an easy job, as we're all discussing.
You're very welcome.
How long have you been a firefighter?
14 years.
So what got you started in your effort to get the word out about PTSD and the risk of suicide among firefighters and first responders?
I had my own personal problems that I was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, or they also call it a post-traumatic stress injury. What I did for my help, I first originally reached out to the what the fire department calls the employee assistance program. I didn't feel that was good enough help for me, so I went outside and got my own psychologist and psychiatrist. I also attended the Betty Ford Hazelden Center in Naples, Florida, which can stop you from substance abuse, alcoholism, and also help you mentally.
So what happened? Were you trying to self-medicate? I mean, what was going on? What brought it to your attention to where you realized that you were dealing with an issue?
What I had to do is I had to look in the mirror and take a look at myself and realize that I wasn't being honest with myself or anybody else. And I was having I was having a lot of bad symptoms and nightmares about it, and I was trying to cover it with alcohol and to try to make it forget. But in turn, all that did was just make it worse in my life.
Was it a single event or a lot of events?
As far as the PTSD?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of events, and I work in one of the busiest stations in Southwest Florida, and the only busier stations you can get is going to Miami or Tampa. So I've seen a lot of tragedies.
And they just kept replaying in your mind, and that became...
Yes, ma'am.
Tough to bear. So do firefighters talk about this a lot amongst themselves? I mean, were you able to talk to other firefighters in the station house?
Well, the stigma in the firehouse is where, you know, everybody's tough guys. There's a lot of egos in there, and a lot of times people don't want to admit their problems. I personally was at a bottom in my life, so I had no problem admitting it. Like I said before, once I had looked in the mirror and admitted to myself, I was able to go out and I spoke with the fire chief at that time, Trenton Bowen, and he was very accommodating to me, and I took what they call Family Medical Leave Act, so it gave me time off to get help for myself.
That's great. Sometimes it takes a while to get there, but when you get there, I'm glad that you caught yourself.
It's taken me a very long time because I was coming to the end.
Well, that thing about being a tough guy and being strong enough to handle it, you know, we do a lot of shows here with veterans, and we hear a lot about that too. I mean, is there in the firehouse, there is kind of that culture of I can take it and I'm fine and there's nothing wrong.
Absolutely. But then when you absolutely. But when you get home, you know, you feel a lot different when you get away from the guys. You know, I've seen some traumatic things, had really bad shifts, and come home and just hug my children.
Yeah, I bet. So, and Kevin Garrity, you're a commissioner with the Greater Naples Fire Rescue District. Of course, thank you for your service as well. How long have you been with the Greater Naples Fire Rescue District?
I've been a commissioner down there since about 2009 or so. And my background, I was a firefighter in Cleveland. I was the chief of the fire department there for the last 6.5 years of my career. And, you know, I had experience with some of my guys, actually a close friend of mine who completed suicide. And, you know, like anybody else, we went through the whole range of emotions. When you lose somebody who's close to you, we, you know, asked ourselves, how could we have missed this and what happened? And then fast forward years later where I met John and, you know, John started talking to me about PTSD and we started discussing the growing problem. You know, these firefighters, you know, just this year we've seen them in action here locally and putting these wildfires out. And they work hard. And these guys and these men and women will do anything for the people that they serve. But, you know, it's like anybody else. They have a bucket that gets filled up, and they have this PTSD bucket, and all these events just add and add and add to it. And sooner or later, some of them just can't cope anymore.
Have you seen this over time change? Have you seen things? I mean, now it seems like it's talked about a little bit more. But has the attitude of tough guyness kind of gone away a little bit? Have people changed? Have situations changed? Because fires have always been fires.
They have. And, you know, in Cleveland, we had had our share of suicides. You know, every few years it would happen. And I know nationally suicide is on the increase in this country. I think there's a little bit of a culture where life is not valued as much as it used to be. I think it is talked about more. And one of the things I wonder is that I think in the fire service, I think the camaraderie is not what it used to be. You know, it's interesting how you go to the firehouse now and the firefighters are on their phones like everybody else. You know, we have, you know, millennial firefighters and they're a completely different culture. When I got on the job, there might be 14, 15 guys working in a firehouse and we were just interacting all day for 24 hours.
You don't have a choice but sitting there and talking to them.
Right. You're sitting in the kitchen talking. Now you go to some of the firehouses, especially around here, there might only be three people on duty in the fire station. They got a big fire station there. They're on their phones. I think they're a little bit lonely, actually.
Yeah, it's so strange to be in a room with other people but then still be completely alone and then reaching out through social media or just spacing out at a screen. So, yeah, that is a difference in that kind of culture. But the plus side is that we do actually talk about PTSD now. We've been, you know, made aware of it. It's just now this is the issue of getting it covered for first responders and firefighters. Do people talk about this particular legislation? Have you heard people – any buzz about it among firefighters?
I have heard there's a firefighter down in Greater Naples who's very involved in PTSD. He's a combat vet and knows quite a bit about it. And he has been talking about it. And it's something that I feel like an excitement almost that firefighters are finally able to get some of this stuff off their chest and say, yep, I'm human too. Yeah, this stuff bothers me. You know, carrying the burnt bodies out of the building, it bothers me. And we're glad that they're getting to the point where they can talk about that.
It's unreal that we would expect people to be superhuman and not be affected by something like that, but just keep going to work and keep doing, you know?
It's true. When I retired from the fire department in Cleveland, I did an interview and they asked me, you know, what would you tell somebody coming into the fire service now? And I said, I'd tell them, if you think you're coming into a glory job, you're in the wrong job because somebody does have to carry those burnt bodies out of that building and it's going to be us.
And it's going to be hard to deal with later. We're discussing the burden first responders face while they're doing their jobs and efforts in Tallahassee to pass legislation that would extend workers' comp benefits to them to cover things like PTSD. We're joined by Kevin Garrity. He's a commissioner with the Greater Naples Fire Rescue District. We were talking with him just now, and also John Carenti with the City of Fort Myers Fire Department and Florida CFO and State Fire Marshal Jimmy Petronas. If you want to join our discussion, the number to the call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can also catch us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So Jimmy Petronas, Florida CFO and State Fire Marshal, have you heard much of the same type of sentiment resonating throughout the state as you've been going on your statewide tour about how there's a culture of being the tough guy, but then it's kind of being chipped away?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't the images that these men and women see, they're sensational, but they're not. They don't have a relationship where they're sharing, you know, these graphic images on Facebook. It is a profession. They take the job they've got incredibly seriously. There's a tremendous amount of privacy, and just a a matter of service. I don't think the people that enter into this profession take it lightly. I think they take it with a lot of seriousness, that the issues that they see and deal with deserve some discretion. But as what I would like to encourage is, especially to your listeners, if this is legislation that they agree with us on and they would like to see a change in, with is you know, where the power is with this legislation is with the members of the Florida legislature and the members of the House and the members of the Senate within your viewing audience or your listening audience need to be informed that this legislation is good policy, and we would love them have to be our advocates to help us push it across the finish line.
So if the this legislation does pass, then support for PTSD will become part of workers' compensation for first responders, firefighters, EMTs. Does that end up being something that is costly? I know it's priceless, but where does that cost end up falling?
So in the scheme of things, we're talking about less than 0.2% of the state's population would be affected by this. We're not talking, when we talk about our cities and our counties and being an expanded coverage for them, we're not talking about every county or municipal employee. We're talking about just the first responder community. So it's a minuscule number in the scheme of things. The jury's still out on what type of fiscal impact it can have, but I'm getting some data from other states that have already passed it, and as we try to measure that encounter data with what we feel like we could see in Florida based on the population differences, you know, we'll come up with a firmer number. But, you know, the cities and counties have a job to do, and their job is to look out for the taxpayers' dollars. In my opinion, I think that this could have a positive effect to the bottom line of our cities and counties that go along with us with this policy idea, simply because the treatment could be, you know, far better than the ultimate cure. I mean, the cure, you know, could be as far as somebody taking their own life, and that's not a solution anybody wants to see as a reality. As we allow a treatment method available that could be available through a workers' comp plan, hopefully we can save these young men and women before they ultimately decide to take matters in their own hands.
Mm-hmm. Did people talk much about suicide when you went from firehouse to firehouse?
So again, I think it's an incredibly private issue. I think the subject of their of the images and the tragedy that they have seen, that's very clear. And I've told these first responders that aren't very familiar with the legislative process in Tallahassee how important it is that their testimony be shared, and we don't need names, we don't need you know the terrible details, but we just do need a reality check every once in a while. These legislators, we have a part-time legislature in Florida. I was a member of it for 8 years, and as we come back to our districts and we meet with our leaders in our community, with the people who go to church, with the people on the soccer and baseball fields that we all represent, you know, it's part of our obligation to take their concerns back to Tallahassee in order to make policy. And I'll leave you with this. We've got a incredibly diverse state. It's not really one state. It's about three countries. Mm-hmm. And when we pass a law out of Tallahassee, it inoculates the whole entire state. So, you know, I plead with your listeners, you know, please engage your legislators on no matter what the subject area is. But today, please join us in advocating for greater expansion of benefits for our first responders.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying there, but it's just really hard to it's tempting to want to sanitize the images that firefighters just can't seem to share. Right.
So
the
well
things that they have to say.
That's probably the best way I've heard it put, and you can't make it too palatable, but it's a reality that we need and must address.
Exactly. So, Joan Corrente, I wanted to ask you, what kind of programs exist now for other firefighters to get help? Like, where would someone go at this point?
Well, like I said, in the fire service, there's a chain of command. They can go to their it's what we call as a company officer, which is their direct supervisor. They can go talk to them, and he or she can take it farther than that. What I did is I went to the fire chief at that time. He's now retired. I went to him, and we walked across the street together to the human resources, and I explained my situation and my story, and they welcomed me with open arms, and I went out and got my I actually went out on my own and made my own choice where I was going to go for help.
And there, I mean, you went to outside resources.
I did. I went to the Hazel and Betty Ford Center in Naples.
Yeah. Can you tell me, because obviously I'm not a firefighter, so I don't know. What's a typical day like? Do you still do the 12-hour shifts that were kind of world famous for a while?
What we do, ma'am, is we work 24 hours on and 48 hours off. So we're on from 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. one morning to 7 a.m. the next morning. When we go in, we all get our positions in the apparatus, whether it's a driver, whether it's the captain gives out all the assignments, whether we have a nozzle man, somebody with the tools. We just get the day planned out. Then we do all the house chores. We check the trucks out, and then we respond to whatever emergencies may come across.
About how many emergencies come across in a given shift?
Well, like I said, I'm in a very busy engine house, engine 13 and engine 13 and rescue 13. I would say we respond to anywhere between 15 and 18 calls a shift.
Mm-hmm. And how many of those end up being a conflagration? And how many of those end up actually being a fire that you're fighting, or are they accidents? Or are they medical calls?
Well, we respond a lot with Lee County EMS on medical calls to give them assistance. However, with it us being in the area that we're at, we do go on quite a bit of building fires, a lot of very terrific car accidents, a lot of car accidents with individuals trapped in the car where you'd have to cut them out. Unfortunately, we also go to public suicides as well.
No, anything in public?
Any individual that would commit suicide, and you know, a family member calls 911, and we would show up, and unfortunately have to see that ourselves.
So we're also hearing a lot about the opioid epidemic. Are you coming into contact with this a lot?
Very much. The neighborhood that I work in, we are averaging 2 or 3 overdoses per 24-hour shift. And it's that's an absolute tragedy. We've seen, since we know our neighborhood very well, we've seen certain individuals go downhill and downhill, and they've never gotten any help. And eventually, to be honest with you, and be frank, they die.
So you go and you Narcan, right?
Yes.
them, and then you come back again like a week or so later, the same thing?
Oh, we've almost done the same person in the same day.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And then, so you're out there. You're being more than just a firefighter.
Yeah, we're also in the city of Fort Myers. We're also EMTs and paramedics.
And so you're connecting with people during their worst moments ever, and you're also seeing their families dealing with them in these moments.
Correct. Like I always say, when a family calls 911, we're their last hope, and it's kind of hard to say, but they have no other way to turn, and they look for us. And if it was that easy, somebody else already would have done it. So we do our job, and we do the best I can. We also help the family out when we can as well after the call's over and they're transported.
So you're kind of almost a social worker as well.
Yeah, you know, try to make the family do the best we can and the best we can for them. And then when they're if their house were to catch on fire, try to make it nice and livable for them again.
Yeah, well, that's hard after you've hosed it down.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. And, you know, boarding up windows and stuff, because sometimes some of the people in low-income areas, they have nowhere else to go.
Yeah, well, they don't have an option. Once you put out the fire, they're there.
Yeah, the Red Cross does come along and help it sometimes with hotel rooms and things like that.
And then Kevin Garrity down in Collier County, down in Naples Fire Rescue District, are you seeing much in the way of the opioid crisis hitting down there?
We do. I don't think we have it to the extent that it is up in Lee County here, but that is an epidemic that is nationwide.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a while. Do you remember a time when PTSD among first responders was ever openly discussed?
No, I remember before even the critical incident stress management teams came out. I remember when they first came out, the guys threw them out of the firehouse, and you know they didn't want to talk to anybody.
Is that up in Cleveland?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We weren't going to talk to anybody, any outsiders. You didn't know what you were talking about, and we were not going to engage in any conversations about what happened out in the streets.
This honestly sounds almost like a conversation I've had with veterans in this same talk studio. They come in and they have a hard time relating to people who haven't lived it and done it themselves. Does that become a problem when people are seeking help sometimes when they've been a firefighter and they are talking with a person?
It definitely is. That's why in Cleveland we had employee assistance people. We had firefighters assigned full-time to employee assistance duty, and because they could at least listen to what the guys had to say with some sort of empathy for what's going on. I think in any professional field, people feel that, you know, nobody knows what we're doing here. Police officers are definitely like that. Firefighters, EMS workers, they're all the same. You know, they want to be able to unload with people that understand what they're going through.
And then, you know, if you're talking to a layperson, they might be so horrified by some of the images that you can discuss that it would be almost – they probably couldn't get past the images that you're reliving in your mind all the time.
Well, there's a definite feeling that people outside the brotherhood just don't get it. They just don't understand.
It's kind of hard to do that until you're forced to and you're actually standing there looking at it. So I wanted to ask both of you, how should first responders get in touch if they or someone they know is struggling with substance abuse in order to try to self-medicate? You mentioned earlier you went to your chief.
I did.
And is that the best course of action that you think? Is that what you would advise firefighters to do?
Well, since what I've done in my fire department is I've promoted myself as far as helping people. And everybody knows in my firehouse and my fire throughout my whole fire department that if they have any problems, they can come talk to me. And I'm very open and very honest. And I could actually start to lead them in the right direction if needed.
Did you fear initially that there would be judgment when you came out and said to everybody, hey, look, I'm having an issue and this is what I'm doing?
No, not at all. I've always been a strong individual. But at that point, I extremely needed help. I have two children, one's 9 and one's 6. So at that point, I really didn't care what type of judgment would be put on me.
Yeah. But have they been judgy at all, or have they been pretty much embraced you as you came back?
Actually, people have been very happy about how honest I've been, you know, and I've gotten a lot of respect for it. And I've been welcomed with open arms through our fire chief now and our deputy fire chief. And it's been it's been really good for me, and I'm able to – this is my cause. So I'm able to – I'm trying to help as many people as I can. If I could save one life, I've done very well.
Yeah, and that's great. But there are a lot of people that do fear that kind of judgment. So it's good to hear that in the end that wasn't there.
Yeah, that's true. And if there is any individuals out there that have any problems, I will have their back and stand up for them and do whatever I can to help them make them feel comfortable.
And I'm going to go back to Jimmy Petronas, Florida CFO and State Fire Marshal. Just one last comment. I wanted to ask you about how people can get involved in getting this type of legislation passed, which is, again, to get PTSD onto the workers' comp for first responders.
Sure. So, again, it all starts with the community being proactive and reaching out to their state legislator. In the market down there, you've got a dozen legislators, you've got half a dozen senators. Reaching out to them and being an advocate for Representative Will Height's legislation or Senator Lauren Book's legislation is where the whole process should start. When your own community, your own constituency reaches out to you, that is really the most powerful way in order to get the grassroots advocacy up and running and to make a difference. I mean, if you find an interested legislator that wants to advocate, then the next step would be, well, would you mind co-sponsoring the legislation? And that's something that they can do and kind of goes on the record to say, I'm not only supporting this, but I want to be a sponsor of this legislation. So that's what I would, you know, hopefully encourage, that whole positive grassroots. And, you know, one thing that John, you know, deals with and these guys deal with is they'll come up on a scene where it takes multiple different agencies that will show up to a scene, and you know it'll be a hot scene, and his folks will have to stage somewhere at a safe distance while local law enforcement kind of diffuses the circumstances. So these guys then go in and save people's lives. What they do really, the conversation that you have doesn't do justice how they risk their lives every single day. And I can't stress enough how grateful I am to be able to stand up and say this is the right thing to do and use the bully pulpit that I'm so fortunate to have to help back something that I think this profession desperately needs.
Have you gotten any pushback up in Tallahassee?
No, and look, the cities and counties that will stand and come forward, that they will be constructively critical of this legislation because of the unknown fiscal cost. At the end of the day, I think they, at least I hope they will, they'll come around and be supportive and this legislation will have a chance to be brought to light. We'll get some numbers before the end of session of mm-hmm. what this could mean to the taxpayers. But I think I scratch my head why we weren't doing this, you know, 10 years ago.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank my guests. Kevin Garrity, he's commissioner with the Greater Naples Fire Rescue District. Mr. Garrity, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it.
And I also want to thank John Carenti. He's a captain with the City of Fort Myers Fire Department. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your personal story.
You're welcome. It was an honor to be here.
And thank you to Jimmy Petronas, Florida's Chief Financial Officer and State Fire Marshal. Mr. Petronas, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service. And y'all, please have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
You too.
You're very welcome, sir.
Coming up, we'll meet two FGCU professors who have just returned from spending 10 months teaching in Rwanda. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.